Welcome back to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi.
And I'm Lisa. And it's day three. And here's our quick recap. In day one, we talked about how the fall blinded us to spiritual reality and new birth restored our sight. And then yesterday, we talked about the sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God, the only offensive weapon in the armor designed to drive the enemy back. And today, we're going to talk about what keeps the sword live.
Yeah, Paul does something intentional at the end of Ephesians 6. He doesn't stop at the sword and move on. And if we look at the verse, it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. One continuous sentence, no break. The sword and prayer are bound together.
I love Paul with the no sentence breaks.
Yeah.
This is my favorite. Well, and we need to say something that sounds uncomfortable here. You could read your Bible and still lose the fight. The Pharisees had scripture memorized. They stood face to face with the Son of God and missed him completely. Head knowledge of the text is not the same as the sword of the Spirit. The sword only does what it's designed to do when it's wielded by the Spirit. Prayer is how you stay connected to the one who makes it work.
So what is prayer? Here's the clearest way I think I can say it. Prayer is the physical living in the spiritual. Think about your day. Everything you do is physical living in the physical world. You go to work, you make coffee, you have conversations, you're driving, you're listening to this beautiful radio station, you know. But when you pray, something different happens. You, a flesh and blood person, step into the spiritual realm and conduct actual business there. You're not talking to a ceiling. You're making contact with the living God in the world the fall cut you off from.
That's really good, but that's also why prayer is hard. The flesh has zero appetite for it. There's no immediate feedback, no visible immediate result, nothing you can track. And the enemy knows that a praying Christian is one who has broken through the blindness of the fall and learned to live where the real battle is fought. So he does everything he can to kill your prayer life. Busyness, distraction, fatigue, the whisper that your prayers hit the ceiling and go nowhere.
Yeah, and Paul, I think he joins these things together, like the Word of God and prayer, and he says, you be praying at all time, because basically you're walking back into the garden, communion with God. It's not just in crisis, not when you're desperate, all the time. It's meaning that communication never stops. It's not a scheduled appointment. It's a continual posture. And it's this practicing of the presence of God, turning your attention to God in the middle of a conversation before you respond to that email that comes in the moment of temptation rather than after it.
And in the Spirit ties everything back to what we talked about a few days ago. The fall darkened our spiritual perception. The Spirit is the one who opened our eyes and gave us new birth. And to pray in the Spirit means to engage in the battle in dependence on the one who sees all the things that you can't, not in your own wisdom, not based on what's visible to you, but asking God to act according to his perfect knowledge and purposes.
You know, I was thinking about Jesus in the garden. He's praying and he's just asking and he's in communion with the Father. And that happens all before the temptation. And I often think about how, like, you know, we'll read the scripture and, you know, you pray. But, like, combining those together, like the Word of God informing your prayers, I think is one of the ways that we enter into the battle, that we wield the sword, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is then empowered. It's, like, in our hands. So you could have a sword on your side. Like, you could just read your Bible and not pray, and it'd be on your side, but it'd never be unsheathed, right? Or you could just pray like crazy, and you could have communion with God, but you have no weapon.
Well, right, it's like, you know, your friend calls.
I'm in the battle, right, guys!
Your friend calls and is like, get your sword, and you're like, I don't know where it is!
Right.
Yeah,
and I think that's what's interesting about the language and the picture that he paints, that one, we don't really see this spiritual world. We only think of it in a material world. You're a material girl.
Nice. I did catch that reference.
Okay, great. And so I think that's really maybe some of the difficulty in this. is because it's so unnatural to us.
Mm-hmm.
It is one to listen to someone else, the Word of God, because He is the one who defines what is good and what is evil, not us. We cannot sit on that throne. That language in Genesis 3 is a language of judges and kings, that you will know what is good and evil. When Satan tempts Eve with that, he is saying, like, you get to decide what is good and evil. We don't get to decide what is good and evil. Whoever's in power gets to decide what is good and evil. And we can see that in government. We can see that all over the place. But especially when it comes to the things of God, who gets to decide what is good? Only God does. Because He is the only one that is good.
Well, yeah, but to be aware of that all the time is something that I think Jesus alone demonstrates, right? Right. And that's the thing, right? The sword didn't come first. It's not like the communion with the Father is what came first. And so then when the enemy comes, the word that comes out of Jesus wasn't just a cold citation. It was scripture alive in the man who had been completely saturated in the presence of the Father. And that's why the enemy left. And I think sometimes when we think about Jesus alone in the wilderness and the devil coming, I think we all, like, maybe because of the flannel graphs, but I always imagine Jesus as being so depleted, so out of resources. But the reality is that He was overflowing with the spiritual resources to battle the enemy. And I don't know, I think that's something really cool to think about.
Well, I think that's what really interesting in 6:10, before He goes into this whole battle language, to have the sword, the breastplate of righteousness, all of those things. He says this: be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And so it's not us, like, just putting this thing on. It's like doing what Jesus did, like get prayed up, get the Word of God in you. And then the battle becomes very different. I think it becomes visible to us, the correct battle, but it also, we have a weapon against it.
And it's less me focused, right? Like, if the words I'm uttering to Jesus in prayer are informed by the Word of God, because I've been in the Word of God, I sound way less like a me monster in my prayers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I got a different set of priorities, I think.
Yeah, I'm not, my prayers become, God help me to come less about me winning the lottery.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm just looking for a nap.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like to pray for big things.
Oh, okay. I mean,
or maybe that is a big thing.
I mean, naps are pretty miraculous in my world.
And we digress very quickly. Yeah.
Right, so to the degree that we engage in this fight is the degree to which we'll be able to join in the worship that Jesus talks about in Revelation 19.
Yeah, and I think the picture and the beauty of all of that is that when we pray and when we enter into the Word of God, we are really celebrating who He is. And that's what we do in Revelation 19. But we pray, and it's not a ritual. It's a physical flesh person who has learned to step into the spiritual, to do business with God, where the real battle is fought at all times in the spirit. And I think it's not just there to defend us. We're born into God's family to be able to be dangerous and to walk into the kingdom of darkness, our own darkness, to our sin and every impulse that whispers, this is how things are supposed to be. Back to that language of the garden, you get to decide what is good and evil. That is not true. God does. And it's, we don't make peace with it. We kill it. We use our sword for it. So take up the sword and get praying.
Yeah, thanks for being with us this week on Pearls and Swine. And if it's helped you, share it with you. There are people fighting in your life who are blind, who need to know that there's a better way.
Until next time, this is Levi and Lisa on Good News You Can Use.
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.